Hey, Terry, are you there?
I'm here, and I walked down to the corner and got myself a Starbucks double shot espresso about a half an hour ago, so my brain is raging with caffeine. I'm ready.
Oh, good. Well, caffeine is the preferred drug of choice whenever you're doing a teleconference.
That's it.
Let me go ahead and get the page up. I'm going to just let everybody know that we do have a little handout today with some ad examples. That is at terrymarshall.com/923/, and right on the page is a link above the Adobe AdWords, the Adobe Reader logo, which is the AdWords copywriting example. If possible, you might want to go to that page and download that Adobe file.
Yeah, terrymarshall.com/923, which is today's date.
And that'll go ahead and give you a little bit more background. And I think Terry is going to be referring to some of those ads. I'll go ahead and get that open. So I want to thank everybody for joining us on the How to Profit from Google AdWords presentation teleclinic today. We're going to be meeting twice this week today, and we're also going to be meeting on Thursday, which is the 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern as well. We'll send out a notification to everybody, if not two, just to remind them of that call. Also, if you invested in the transcript and PDF and MP3, we'll go ahead and probably have that ready by the 6th of October at the very latest. Try to get that done even earlier. And if you invested in the resale rights, we'll get all those materials off to you as well by the 6th of October. I'm ready to begin. Terry, you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah. And okay. Jonathan, I always like interaction, so anytime you want to, just jump in with a question or a comment.
Perfect.
No problem, okay?
Well, thank you.
So, thanks everybody for being on the call, and I know you're all busy people, and you got 900 gazillion things tugging on your time, so I'm certainly going to make sure that you get a worthwhile experience tonight. And so what I'm going to talk about is the mechanics of making Google AdWords work and some of the psychology. And another thing that I'm going to talk about is the context of how this fits into your whole entire business and not just internet marketing. Google AdWords is not just an interesting little toy on the internet. It's really, in my opinion, one of the most profound developments in the whole history of advertising. Because if you think about what advertising has always been, it's always been sticking some ad or some message somewhere where you can reasonably expect the right kind of person to come by, whether it's a billboard or a magazine or a radio ad or a TV ad or whatever. And there's always been a lot of waste in just about any form of advertising, or else you're interrupting people in the form of, you know, mailing them letters or sending them emails. And what pay-per-click marketing does, and what Google, because of its speed of setting it up, allows you to do, is it allows you to spend $5 and instantaneously have access to 100 million people and specifically razor-sharp target just the people you want with just the message you want and only target them when they're looking for what you've got. The precision of that is just astounding, and the fact that Google lets you do that in the space of 10 minutes from, you know, clicking on the link to having your ad running is nothing short of a miracle in the modern world. And I can only imagine how much computer stuff goes on behind the scenes every time somebody does a search. But the bottom line is if you sell a cure for some kind of a problem or whatever it might be, you can pick the exact keywords that you want, you can bid on them, you can write the ad that you want, and you can have it in front of people, and you only pay when they click. So it's a very unique form of advertising that just never existed before about 18 months ago. Overture was doing something similar to this as long as, what, Jonathan, maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah, three, even 4 years ago, they back when they were GoTo, they had pay-per-click traffic available. And you know, when we started using it, we were shocked at the conversion rate between other types of traffic, because it was, at the time, some of the purest search engine traffic you could get.
Right.
Of course, we talked about some of the problems that have occurred with Overture and other pay-per-click search engines, and it seems like Google, the more we test and the more we hear and the more we have clients doing actual promotions, the more Google just rises to the top.
Yeah, Google has gotten to where they are because they give people an excellent user experience and they have very high standards. They're not willing to compromise in order to get more dollars, and so they have a very loyal following. Now, the speed of Google and the ability to make changes, to test things, to try new ideas, to have a hunch, stick up a web page, drive traffic to it, and learn something from it is so fast that what Google really is, for a lot of people, is the world's fastest crash course in direct marketing. And for our purposes today, I'm going to define direct marketing is as advertising that demands action. If you are in a small business, it's my conviction that's the only kind of marketing that makes any sense. Now, if you're Coca-Cola or some $500 million, billion-plus dollar company, then you can do image advertising and branding and all that kind of stuff. And I won't disagree for a millisecond that that kind of branding kind of advertising works just fine when you're McDonald's or Coca-Cola or Walmart or whoever. But if you are in a specialized business or if you're in a small business, doing that kind of advertising is like a teardrop in the ocean, and it won't do you any good for the money you're spending. Direct marketing is the discipline of putting out advertising and measuring the results, expecting the results, and refining it until you get the results that you want. It's scientific. It's also very psychological. It's a blend of human psychology and arithmetic, and Google is an embodiment of all of those things in one single amazing high-speed tool. And so if you think of where the world was 4 or 5 years ago and the whole dot-com boom versus the way the internet is now, it's a comparison of dumb money versus smart money. If you're marketing on the internet 4 years ago, there was a lot of dumb people doing dumb things, and when it all caved in, the clunk was heard around the world, and we're still recovering from that mess. If you look at what's going on the internet now, people spend advertising money very carefully. The tools and pay-per-click search engines allow you to measure it with ruthless precision, and you can get amazing results if you track it. And so it's changing the landscape of marketing, and I think sort of from the bottom up, Google and the way internet marketing is done is going to change the way companies do marketing, and direct marketing is going to be much more in vogue in the next 5 years because of it. Okay, I'm going to jump in to doing Google AdWords campaigns. If you go to where Jonathan pointed you to, which is perrymarshall.com/923, what you will see is a bunch of advertisements. These are all Google ads that are running today that I swiped off the internet, and I'm going to use this as a starting point. I'm going to refer back to this several times. So go to perrymarshall.com/923, and there's a link to the AdWords Teleclinic PDF, and you can open that up and take a look. And I'm going to point out a lot of subtleties here of what worked and what didn't. before I go into this, let's say that it all starts with the keywords. Keywords is the foundation of everything that you do in pay per click. If you bid on the wrong keywords, you can spend a lot of money and never make a dime back, have a lot of frustration. If you bid on the right keywords, you can get tremendous results. And one of the neat things, on the internet, most things that you do are wide open to the public. Your competitors can see what you're doing. They can look at your web pages. They can look at your HTML. They can go through your sales process. But one thing that your competitors can't do is reverse engineer your keyword selections. There's no way they know if you're bidding on a keyword unless they think of it first, type it in, and see if you're bidding on it. And so it becomes this proprietary web that you build inside of Google that they cannot, they don't know what you're bidding, they don't know what your click-through rate is other than a crude approximation, and they don't know all the phrases, they don't know the negative keywords, they don't know the razor-sharp targeted phrases you're bidding on. And so as your marketing develops over time, you have something that's truly your secret alone. And it amounts to a competitive advantage that people can only get by doing it the hard way. When you choose keywords, the first thing you need to know about this is most people are going to make a list of 20 keywords and bid on them in a haphazard way, and that's a wrong way to approach things. The right way is to bid on 200 keywords all clustered together in very tight little groups. And the reason, I mean, 20 and 200 is just kind of an off-the-cuff number, but the average bidder is going to come up with a list of 20 things they think people would search on. They're going to bid on them, and they're going to find out that the list they came up with is the same list that all their competitors come up with, and those keywords are the most expensive keywords. And so they end up bidding $1, $2, or $3 on those keywords. If you bid on a keyword that nobody else is bidding on, you pay a nickel.
You know, what you just said was interesting because, and let me correct me if I'm wrong, we've got the price that we pay for the keyword per click, and we've got the click-through rate, of which those two are a function of where we rank.
Yep.
And in our 20 most popular keywords, or the 30, the ones that everybody thinks these are my keywords, pretty much you only have a couple of things that you can do to get an advantage. You can either bid more money,
right,
or write a slightly better ad.
Right.
But, you know, I want everybody to understand that keyword selection, coming up with additional keywords, which we'll talk about in this session, I'm sure, and in the Thursday session as well, is really the biggest advantage you can give yourself because it allows you to bid on stuff that other people, they don't even have it on their radar. And if you do it correctly, like you said, you might have an average click price of 50 cents or 75 cents for the normal stuff. You get in on a nickel.
Yep.
on the more esoteric and less thought of keywords.
That's right. That's right. And so, and another thing about those keywords is people will usually come up with a list of real general words, like they'll bid on the word arthritis. If they sell an arthritis medication. Well, everybody that sells an arthritis medication has thought of that. Okay, and so you're bidding against everybody else. But, matter of fact, I'm just going to do a little search here to get a list of arthritis.
When you bid on those words, you're not only bidding against your competitors, you're bidding against people who don't compete against you directly, but they happen to compete for that keyword.
Right, right. Now, if you bid on arthritis pain relief, that's a three-word phrase, think of the difference between a person who types in arthritis pain relief and a person who types in arthritis. Okay, there's a big difference. So, number one, the word arthritis pain relief is going to be less expensive usually. Secondly, the person who types that in is looking for arthritis pain relief specifically. That keyword or that phrase will probably convert to sales much better, because arthritis, that's something that a fifth grader would type in when they're writing a little paper. Mm-hmm. Okay? I bet most people that are suffering from arthritis are going to type in something more specific than arthritis. I'm looking at Overture's search term inventory tool, inventory.overture.com, and I got variations like degenerative arthritis, knee arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Now, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, 2,173 searches on that. That is a very specific market. And think about the internet. How many combinations of things can people type in on the internet?
And anything they want, of
infinite,
course.
Right, there's an infinite. Well, that means there's an infinite number of markets on the internet, or at least a few million markets on the internet. And so the internet is not a place where you find anybody and everybody. The internet is a place where you find very specific people looking for very specific things. So, you know, arthritis information, 2,028 searches. Arthritis in dog, 1,527 searches. So, you know, don't bid on arthritis trying to catch all those things. You'll pay a lot of money for your clicks. You drill down and you'll get a lot better conversion rate. Another thing which I alluded to earlier is you want to cluster your keywords together very tightly. You don't want to take all your keywords that you can possibly come up with, dump them into one single campaign and one single ad. That is a big mistake. I'm hoping everybody took a look at the example PDF file that Jonathan emailed out for everybody at the end of the last week, or maybe it was over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it had the child sponsorship example. I put this example together doing something very specific that a lot of people do wrong. I put a whole bunch of keywords in this one campaign. Sponsor a child. Poverty, third world country, child sponsorship, charity, and poor people. I put all those words in the same campaign. And then the ad said, children's relief, we help hungry kids in poor countries. That is not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because the ad doesn't match the keywords. The ad needs to match the keywords very exactly. And the keywords are scattered all over the place. When I did the second example, I did it a little bit differently. And what I did was I lumped, let me pull this up here. I did child sponsorship as the root word, and then I had all these variations, child foreign sponsorship. Child sponsorship Africa, child sponsorship program. I put all those together in a single campaign, and then the ad said child sponsorship in the headline, which is exactly what they typed in. That's what they're wanting to see after the results come back. Support a needy child in Africa, get photos and regular email updates. And so the ad specifically written to target the things that a donor would be interested in. Is a donor interested in sending money to some continent and never hearing back from anybody again? No. I've actually been researching this, and they send pictures and letters and all kinds of stuff. I don't know if anybody saw the movie About Schmidt. It's got, you know, the Jack Nicholson sponsors this child in Africa, and he gets letters back from him and stuff. That's really actually happens with the good programs. And so that's what people are looking for. And so the ad, even though it's charity, the ad promises a benefit to the person searching. It tells them what they get, not what the child gets so much. And that's really important. And so there's the psychological element when you're writing these ads, is you have to appeal to a person's self-interest. You don't want to talk to them or about yourself or your company. You want to talk to the person about themselves. So what I'd like to do at this point is let's take a look at this example at perrymarshall.com/923. In the AdWord examples, there's a whole bunch of really good things in here. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of little tips and tricks to improve the click-through rate on your ad. But the first thing we have to get an understanding about is coming up with a hook that's really going to get people's attention in the first place. If you start with a fundamentally bad ad, something that's fundamentally unappealing, it doesn't really matter how much you tweak it, it's always going to perform poorly. And so what I've done is I've collected a whole bunch of ads here, and at the bottom of all the ads, it's got this little interest bar. And sometimes it's full, sometimes it goes halfway, sometimes it looks like it's almost empty. Well, I don't know the exact formula that they use to display it. I know it's somewhat relative to the other ads that are running, but a really crude approximation would be to say when it's full, it's getting a click-through rate of 1% or better. And when it's less than full, then if it's halfway, it's probably getting a click-through rate of 0.5%. If it's less than half full, it's less than half a percent, and it's probably about to get disabled. And what you can do is you can type things in and you can look how different ads are doing. And so I typed in arthritis, and it shows 5 different ads here. And it's interesting to see which ones have a full interest bar and which ones only have partial interest. The one with the least amount of interest in this group is one that says pain relief without drugs, get relief from arthritis pain in the warmth of jacuzzi premium spas. I'm going to assume that's not doing so well because most people aren't going to click on buying a spa, although that may work for the advertiser, I don't really know. But a really successful one here is I cured my arthritis. You can too. Forget expensive meds and surgery. Stop the pain. And then AFF, which is affiliate, which if you're an affiliate, Google requires that you put that little AFF on there. Arthritis treatment info, information and link resources for treatment of arthritic conditions. I find generally that if the ad advertises information that has a research feel to it, where they're going to get a discussion about the problem rather than a bunch of information about a specific solution, it'll tend to get more clicks. If you're in really tough keywords that are very general, I'm going to talk about the strategy later. Usually it's the only approach that'll work. Now if you look at the middle one, it says arthritis joint repair, cartilage repair without surgery, experience the power of Ezorb. I think this ad is flawed because it starts talking about the product before the person even clicked. And I think that's a mistake. Now, let me back up and talk about why this interest bar is so important. Google really only has a handful of rules for AdWords. They don't have some Byzantine complex set of rules. It's very simple, and the rules are your position relative to the other bidders is a function of your bid price times the click-through rate that you get, And so the higher the percentage of people who click on your ad, the less you have to pay to be in a certain position. So if you've got a click-through rate of 2% and I've got a click-through rate of 1%, you can bid 50 cents, but I would have to bid $1 to be above you. And so you pay half as much by being twice as relevant. The other rule is that if you get a click-through rate on Google of less than 0.5% or less than one click-through out of every 200 searches, after 1,000 searches, they will disable the keyword and your ad won't run anymore. And so that's how Google makes sure that people's ads match what people are actually searching for. And so you want to, number one, not get disabled by having an ad that gets a good click-through rate. Number two, you want as high a click-through rate as you can, because the way you win on Google is not by winning a bidding war. You do it by winning a click-through war.
So that's really the biggest difference between Overture and Google that I can see. I mean, there's a few major other major ones, but really, Google rewards good direct marketers,
yep,
whereas Overture rewards people with deep pockets.
That's right.
Okay.
That's absolutely right. And so if you're up against some big dumb company and they there's a lot of those, and they gave it to their webmaster and said, hey, why don't you buy some clicks on Google? You know, here's a corporate credit card. They could be paying $3 or $4 a click. They could be losing money or whatever. You're getting a good click-through rate. You're getting better traffic than they are, and maybe you're only paying a fourth as much as they are. And that's a huge advantage on Google. And another thing is, because it encourages you to get a better click-through rate, and because it gives you your click-through rates in almost real-time reporting, as you experiment and you try different ads, you can start to figure out what the world is searching for and then adjust what you're offering to match it. That's such a huge, huge advantage. And we'll talk even more, especially on Thursday, about how to even ask people what they're searching for and a way to structure that.
Yeah, that's the big, big one. I'm reading a book right now, and it's called The E-Myth, if anyone has read it. And boy, I've gone this long without reading that book. It talks about the different philosophies when you're starting a business. And I think you touched on a very important philosophy, and that is the average person, the average marketer, creates their product and says, I will sell this product. How do I sell it? I need to sell it this way. I need to sell it this way. Or they get in that mindset where they say, these are my keywords. And you know,
yep,
and you can't ever take them away from them. The entrepreneur and the person who really understands how to use these tools and the direct response marketer says, here's this market. What do they need? I'm not going to force my product on a market. That's too hard. I'm going to find out what the market wants and create products that serve their passions and solve their problems.
Yes.
So this really allows you, you know, we've seen so many times when people have gotten involved with pay-per-click, people have gotten involved with Google, they find a whole new market hiding there under everyone else's nose. They
yes.
didn't know existed.
And let me take a tiny little detour here even. I got this email yesterday from a guy, and he goes, well, I'm kind of new in internet marketing, and he mentioned some MLM company and whatever. But he said something that I kind of read between the lines. He said, I am determined to make this work come heck or high water. And I could feel the determination and consternation, if you will, in that statement. And I said, well, I did reply to him. I said, well, I don't consider myself some guru on internet entrepreneurship or you know, selling ebooks or something, but I said, I'll tell you this. That the mentality that you learn in a lot of sales situations of, you know, gut it up and brute force and all this energy that you can muster and persistence and determination and God bless America and everything else, that does not work in direct marketing. What works in direct marketing is finesse. What works in direct marketing is finding natural grooves and resonating with them, finding unmet needs in the marketplace where people already want something and you're just going to give it to them, and then it flows like oil. You don't have to fight people. And I just think if you approach it like, hey, guess what? See, in direct marketing, in sales, you look at it as rejection. In direct marketing, it's not rejection. It's a test that failed.
Right.
And so in Google, you can run all the tests you want. If it didn't work, hey, they didn't like that message. Let's try this other message. Let's try these other keywords. And you'll always end up finding something that you didn't know people wanted. Mm-hmm. Well, now you can give it to them. And so it's not brute force. It's about giving the people what they want. Let's keep moving here. Google allows you to give negative keywords and phrase matching. Let's stay with the arthritis thing, and you're selling some kind of kit or information or something about arthritis. If you're selling it, you probably don't want people that are looking for free. And so you can put the word negative free in your list of keywords, and anytime the word free is in their search, your ad will not show up. Okay? So, I mean, there's any number of things where people type in, you know, free coupons, free music, free MP3, free this, free that. If you don't want those people, then use a negative keyword and you won't get them. Or you know, some industry or some, you know, in my website, I've got all these lead generation tools. One market that my stuff is not for, I mean, some of my other products, my marketing toolkits and stuff, is insurance. So I've got the word negative insurance on my keywords for giving away McGrill marketing CD. Now, phrase matching is really important. There are two ways to phrase match on Google. Let's say that you are selling, let's go to another example that I've got on these ads, speak Portuguese. There's three ways to bid on those two words. You can bid on speak Portuguese with no punctuation, and your ad will show up anytime the word speak and the word Portuguese are in a search. So if somebody typed in Portuguese speak, your ad would show up. If they typed in speak Portuguese, your ad would show up. If they typed in speak good Portuguese, your ad would show up. So that's the most general thing. So you could even bid on the word Portuguese, and your ad would show up anytime somebody types in Portuguese combined with anything else. Now, the next kind of phrase matching is when you use quotes. Quote, speak Portuguese, unquote. What that means is that the phrase speak Portuguese has to appear in that order. So they could type in learn to speak Portuguese, your ad would show up. They could type speak Portuguese well, your ad would show up.
If they said how to speak Portuguese or tell me how to speak Portuguese.
Right. Any of those.
And just so long as in that case you put the word speak in Portuguese in quotes, and then only when those two words together are searched for in any other word combination, but those two words have to be next to one another and they have to be the exact match.
Right. Right. Now there's the even more exact match, and that's speak Portuguese in brackets, square brackets. If you put it in square brackets, that means they have to type speak Portuguese in that order, exactly like you put it in the brackets, with no other words, and only then will it come up. Now, here's a little trick that is very useful for getting your bid prices down, is if you sell something that's about speaking Portuguese, you bid on speak Portuguese with no punctuation at all, and you bid on speak Portuguese in brackets, and you bid on speak Portuguese in quotes. All three. Okay.
Why would you do that, Perry?
Okay, here's why. Even though your marketing doesn't have any official reason to select those different formulations, that helps you because if you're the only guy bidding on speak Portuguese in brackets, and they type speak Portuguese with nothing else, then you are automatically the highest bidder. You're only bidding against the people who bid on it in brackets.
So in other words, you know, because I got a lot of keywords, I'm open to my Google AdWords account right now for one of the promotions we're doing. You could almost take any of these keywords and triple your keywords just by putting quotes and brackets around them.
Yep.
Would you recommend that to somebody who has got a bunch of keywords?
Yes, I would.
Prominent or not.
Yeah, can I talk about the mineral supplement thing we did?
Oh, yeah.
And how that played into it?
Yeah.
Okay, when I did your coral calcium campaign, there was like 40 different people bidding on the word coral calcium. There was 8 people on page 1 and 8 more people on page 2 and 8 more people on page 3. And if you wanted to get on the first page, you had to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 or $3 a click. Okay? Well, I discovered something. I discovered that if I bid on coral calcium in brackets, there wasn't very many other people bidding on it in brackets, and I got to position number 6 on the first page for only about 40 cents a click.
Wow, so that's how you did it.
That's how I did it.
You never told me that.
Well,
and I was wondering, I'm like, how does he do that, you know? And the client in that case was saying, these are like $2 and $3 clicks, you know. How is he doing that?
Right.
And I said, I don't know.
That was how, because there was only a handful of other people bidding on coral calcium, the exact exclusive phrase. And so turns out lots of people were typing in coral calcium with no other words. And so it was automatically a perfect match for us, and we could get in for maybe 1/5 or 1/10 of what everybody else was paying for the same traffic.
Oh my God.
And so I liken it to finding a crack in the sidewalk, and okay, you know, we got something going there.
Well, now I just want to clarify, because again, you know, now you got me all excited. I'm looking at, I've got in this one campaign that I'm working on, I've got about, I think, 47 or 55 or something different keywords. I can immediately turn that into 150 keywords. Just by taking those keywords, I mean, they're the same words, but they're different configurations based on search parameters that the user is giving us, and that Google allows us to modify based on actual search terminology, so to speak.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So you could take everything you've got, and as long as it makes sense. I mean, you might not do it for everything, but you put them in. Put all that stuff in quotes, put it all in brackets.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing that it will do for you. Over time, you'll get a percentage click-through rate for speak Portuguese with no qualifiers. See, if you're bidding on speak Portuguese in quotes and speak Portuguese in brackets, and you're also bidding on speak Portuguese with no qualifiers, what that means is that is only getting searched when people have a word in between speak and Portuguese. or when they have a word that you haven't thought of bidding on, and it'll actually give you an indication of all the variety of different ways that people are searching on stuff. And you can sort of deduce, it gives you a clue that maybe there's some other things that you're not bidding on that you should. And I'll also tell you that the bracketed version will usually have the highest click-through rate of the three different ways of doing it, and the one in quotes will have the second highest, and the one without quotes. So like a typical one, speak Portuguese, no delimiters, might get 1.0%. Speak Portuguese in quotes might get 1.5%, and speak Portuguese in brackets might get 2.5%. Okay, so now you're getting a 2.5% click-through rate instead of a, you know, a 1% click-through rate, and you're competing against fewer people at the same time. So it's like a double whammy. Okay?
Amazing.
Here's
you can, if you can't tell, I'm in the account right now modifying them, because I want to make sure that I do this in case some of the competitors might be listening to this.
now let's go back to this this set of example ads. I'm going to pick out some things that make some of these ads successful. One of the first rules that I try to observe, it's not 100%, but maybe 3/4 of the time what works best, is whatever the phrase is that you're bidding on, put that phrase in the headline of the ad. That almost always works best. So, speak Portuguese. Most of these ads say speak Portuguese, and it'll highlight the speak and the Portuguese, and it'll make your ad more noticeable, and it'll help the click-through rate go up. But here's another thing that I don't know if it's a mistake, but it's a nuance that most people miss. Try as hard as you can to put a good, strong verb in the headline. Most people will, if you look at most headlines, the headlines are all nouns and adjectives. Okay, pain relief without drugs. Pain relief, noun, or relief is a noun, pain is an adjective, without is an adjective, drugs is a verb, or is a noun. Okay, new arthritis treatment. Anytime it's just nouns and adjectives, it's kind of a passive statement. I cured my arthritis is a much more vivid statement. Learn German in 10 hours. Learn to speak Portuguese. Speak Portuguese. Learn Portuguese. I think of the word master would be better than learn. Of course, you can't master Portuguese in 3 hours. Let's look at some other ones. Page 2. Have constant headaches? That's always a good strategy. Ask the person a question. Okay, technology defeats autism. Research autism. Play the trumpet. Oil change made easy. Okay? When you can put a verb in a headline, it creates a mental picture of something happening. And you've only got 25 characters of space in the first line, 35 in the second, 35 in the third. Well, you don't have much space to make the statement that you're trying to make. And so having some good verbs in there can really help. And you'll see most of these ads, even though they're pretty decent ads, a lot of them, most of them don't use verbs. You know, can you use verbs in the second line? You know, get relief from arthritis pain. Try the microwave program for free. Experience the power. Most people do have verbs in the second and third line, but that's a really powerful one. And so, you know, and another thing is, can you change the verb? I've got an example in my toolkit where we changed the word easy to the word fast, and that's the only thing we changed in the ad. We just one word, and the click-through rate went up 1.5 times. And that happens all the time. Try a different verb.
One little word. You just change one little thing.
One little word. Okay? Now, here's another thing that you always want to do. Always, always, always. There's never a reason not to do this, really. When you set up a campaign, you enter your keywords, you write your ad, as soon as the campaign is up, go back and, the ad underneath in your ad manager, it says edit or delete, and above it, it says create a new ad. Create a new ad without deleting the old one.
Okay.
Okay, always do that. And here's what's going to happen. As soon as you write another ad, you write it differently. When you're starting, you might try an entirely different hook, or maybe you just change one word, but you always run two ads at one time, and Google will automatically rotate them back and forth, back and forth, back and forth evenly. So you set up your two ads, and then when you go on Google and you search for what you're bidding on, you click search and search and refresh, 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 you'll see your ad waffle back and forth between the old ad number one and ad number two, and it will expose them evenly, and one will get a higher click-through rate than the other. Okay?
Okay.
So, now, you can't, if you do that, let's say one ad gets four clicks and the other one gets eight. You haven't had enough trials to be sure that the eight is really better. Because if you flip a coin 10 times in a row, you might come up heads 8 times out of 10. Doesn't mean you got an 80% heads coin. It just means that you got heads 8 times out of 10. Now, if you flip a coin 1,000 times, the odds are almost completely 100% that you're going to get roughly 500 out of 1,000 because you had enough trials. Now, a lot of people, when they realize that this is an issue, they'll go, well, how many letters do I have to mail out, or how many people have to visit my website, or how many times do they have to see my ad? Well, the answer is, it's not how many impressions, or it's not how many you send out, it's how many come back or how many clicks you get.
It's based on actions as opposed to impressions.
Right. It's based on actions. So if you're measuring clicks, here's a rule of thumb. And this isn't, you can look up statistic books and get a perfect answer, but roughly your numbers will be 95% reliable if you get 30 clicks. Okay? So if ad A got 30 clicks and ad B got 25, then I can be somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 to 95% sure that if I run it again, that I'll get the same numbers again. So if I got one ad that got 30 clicks, the other one got 10 clicks, there's no question that the one with 30 is better. If one ad got 31 clicks and the other ad got 29, you're fairly sure that the 31 is better than the 29, but actually they're so close to each other, I just leave them running. There's nothing wrong with having two different ads because people search more than one time very frequently, so why not have two chances to catch them? We'll be right back.